Blog Talk Radio.
Regulators. We regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. You gotta be handy with the steal, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up.
Gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Betting Window. I'm your host, Efferani, with me as always.
I have returned from my sixth sabbatical. The Zombie Master has returned.
Yeah, he's bitches. Alive! He's alive!
I'm back, bitches, so buckle the fuck up.
Oh, Christian will be joining us shortly, as well as the Sunkcock, who will be joining us towards the end of the show, like always. Boy, this has been a slow fucking week.
You think?
We had a blizzard in Buffalo. We had nothing really in the MLB. Nothing in the NBA except, God, I'm not even going to say it. Someone ended up passing away. Coach from the Warriors ended up having a heart attack.
Oh, that sucks.
It literally broke today.
And we did have one passing in the MLB for Mets fans.
Oh, yeah.
We lost Bud Harrelson, one of the original members of the 69 World Champions. I think what Bud Harrelson and Bo Beamer most remembered for is, if you're a diehard Mets fan, the fight he had with Pete Rose in the 69 or 73 playoff?
I was going to say, don't ask me. I wasn't alive.
Fuck you, I was alive too, but I was a baby, so what's the point? But no, it was either the 69 or 73, I can't remember off the top of my head. But there was a big fight between Bud Harrelson and Pete Rose, and go look it up online. Pete went into Bud, and Bud kind of said something to him, and Buddy ended up walking away on that thing, and Pete got taken off the field. So,
we'll go through some news that
happened. Rest in peace, Bud Harrelson.
I'm sorry, yes. I wanted to go through. There was some stuff that happened last week that we could talk quickly about, but we'll wait until Christian, because then we'll talk Hall of Fame when Christian gets here for a little bit.
That works.
So Mets got 20 years, 25 mil, or 20 to 0.5 million for arbitration for Alonso. Arbitration for the Yankees was 31 million.
For who? Who got 31?
Soto.
Yeah.
So kind of looking at, you're looking at 35 for Soto next year, and you're probably looking at 22 for Alonso next year.
And I, you know what?
Pending home run leader, pending MVP, pending.
Look, I'll say this, and I've said this to you, and I said this to you off the air, and I'll say it here. If the Mets do not sign Pete to a long-term contract, either before this year's over or in the very least, the very first week or two of the offseason next year, the Mets ownership is going to become one of the most hated ownerships in the business, and I'll explain it real quick in two words. Homegrown talent, the fans, and everybody, and, you know, between fans, sponsors, teammates, everybody loves Pete. I mean,
merchandising.
Oh, yeah. The kids love this one. Spaceballs, the Alonso.
The Mets middle finger. The kids love this one.
But you know what it is? It's stuff like that. You know, everybody, you know, gives him shit for, you know, the... You know, when he does the home runs, he does the air humping and the different things with the celebration stuff. You know what? The Mets haven't had a guy on their team like this ever. And I said this to you earlier, and if anybody's listening and wants to comment, like, please feel free. I've been a Mets fan my entire life. I've read and watched any documentary. I've read just about every book on this team since their inception in 1962. Now, The Mets have not had a guy offensively that has put up the numbers that Pete has. You know, you said it before. You mentioned Piazza. You know, Piazza, when he was a Met, was great. Many great memories. That hit home run after 9/11, monumental. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame. One problem, wasn't homegrown.
No, but no, like, again, let's wait to see what happens during the season. Because he's pulling a Judge right now. If Pete gets hurt, he's not making 20, which, God bless him, he doesn't get hurt.
The only way Pete got hurt last year is when he got drilled.
But he's not going to make, and this goes for Soto too. This is for any player looking for a contract. You're not getting, he's not going to get the money that he wants. Like, right now he's getting $20 million. I'll just use Alonso for example. He gets hurt, he's looking at 18. Or he's looking at 20 a year. If he gets an MVP-type season like Judge did, he might, I don't think he'd be looking at 30, but he'd be looking at 28.
Between 25 to 28.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, too. This is why I'm a little, I don't want to say I'm bitter about it, but I'm just going to use a couple of examples of not, one of them was homegrown. The other one was semi-homegrown, but you'll understand my point when I get to it. When the Mets had Syndergaard, technically he wasn't drafted by the Mets, but he was in the minor leagues when we got him. So technically he was a semi-homegrown talent. And then you had DeGrom, who was a homegrown talent. Syndergaard fucked us, and basically now Syndergaard's still going, we'll pitch for food, you know, because nobody wants him because of his last few years. He's been with four teams.
Well, Thor, in all due respect, Thor Syndergaard did not like the Wilpons.
Yeah, well, basically, you know, but you know what it is? Syndergaard, I think, fucked himself in many ways because he went from the Mets to, who did he go to? The Angels.
Angels.
Then the Angels cut him, and then he went to the Phillies. The Phillies cut him. And he went to the Dodgers. Dodgers cut him. Then he went to the Guardians. Fuck it, the Indians. I'm still calling them the Indians.
Oh, yeah, they're still the Indians.
The Indians. And then he got released by them. Now he's with nobody. You went, in the span of 3 or 4 years, 5 different teams. And
listen, he could go in the way of Benny Agbayani, and he could end up as a Yankee at the end of this year, because God forbid the Yankees need a starting arm.
You know what? And here's the thing. And I was always a big Syndergaard fan because I like Syndergaard. But by him doing what he did, by, you know, the Angels gave him a qualifying offer of $18 million. The Mets would have given him 18.5. He spurned him over that.
Yeah. Well,
but he didn't the thing that gets me about him, he didn't even give the Mets a chance to make a qualifying offer.
But that's the same thing with the next guy you're about to talk about.
But DeGrom, here's the thing with DeGrom. And I've always been a big fan of DeGrom's too. DeGrom, I think, was asking for too much because of, I would have looked at it this way. With his injury track record, he should have said, look, I'll take 3 years. If it doesn't work out, at least the team won't suffer. The reason I say I'll bring that, because there's a third guy I'm going to bring up with this that kind of screwed the Mets in a way, but he didn't. You'll get my point in a minute.
Is it someone that should be on the team right now, but probably
won't? Okay, I'll explain it when I get to it. But DeGrom took 5 years guaranteed from the Rangers, and he's pitched.
And might not be the same.
May not pitch again, because here's the problem. I think I can count on one hand how many pitchers post 35 who have had Tommy John who have recovered and still had a stellar career. One of them pitched for us last year, and that was Verlander. And Verlander had it, what, 38 or 39? He had Tommy John, and he bounced back. But that's, you know what? Verlander was
freaking nature.
Was always a freak of nature. Thank you. Was always a freak of nature, but
also he was more He was a Greg Maddux type pitcher.
Right. He wasn't. DeGrom is a, oh, look how far, look how hard I could throw.
Get back and huck it.
Yeah, you know, huck it, chuck it football. If you get that joke, you're good if you get that joke. But no, but Verlander was a finesse pitcher. He threw hard, but Verlander hard is 93, 94. But he had a bunch of other secondary pitches that could get him through it. But by DeGrom basically screwed himself. That's that. But the player I'm going to talk about is a guy that was injury plagued, but the Mets gave him a big ass contract, and he ended up not fulfilling it because of injuries in his health. And
Bobby
I'm talking
Bonilla.
About David. No, David Wright.
No, Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah, the motherfucker is going to be 70 years old and still catching a paycheck.
Benny
Ogbayani. Benny Ogbayani, I met once, and he's a cool dude. So I got nothing negative to say about Benny. But no, David Wright signed a 7-year, $137 million extension for the Mets, and he played exactly 2.5 years of that contract. And then that's when he diagnosed with the spinal stenosis. And
yeah, nothing of his
Wasn't. Look, I'm not knocking what happened to David Wright. It sucks because David Wright was the heart and soul of this team. And that's why I think that's why I'm so high on Alonso, because Alonso has a lot of the same qualifications that David had. He's a low-key player, comes out, plays his heart out, leaves his heart on the field. That he'd be the first one to tell you, I fucked up, I didn't do this, or I didn't do that. And he's always been a stand-up guy. And that's why I think I like Pete so much, is because Pete reminds me a lot of David. Hence why I think Pete should be A, signed long-term, and B, the next captain of this team. That's why I am as passionate about staying here. Because if he goes to another team, he's going to be a big fish in a small pond. No, small fish in a big pond.
I know what you mean.
But you know what? The point I'm getting, he's just going to be another hired gun.
Yeah.
If he stays here, you know, I don't want to use the term born and raised here, but you were drafted by this team, you were developed by this team, and you matured with this team. See it through. Perfect example. That guy who played shortstop for the Yankees. How many times did Derek have the chance to blow when he was a free agent? He could have gone anywhere. He could have walked up to any owner and said, I'll play for you. Give me this. And they would have whipped out the checkbook faster than a hooker on prom night. You know, I mean, it's just a blunt and honest truth.
Yeah.
Same thing with Pete. But I'm hoping, and from my lips to God, to Pete's ears, he stays here, because if he stays here, we have our franchise player next to Tom Seaver.
Right.
And that's why everybody busts my balls about it and stuff like that, about how I'm down on the Mets. I'm not so much down on the Mets. It's like, you know, some of the leadership and ownership things that they've done in the last 10, 15 years, Will Pons too, they've done a lot of shit where they've taken popular guys and let them walk, and those players went on to other teams and had success, and basically they don't acknowledge that they were Mets, like the Jeff Kents, the Daniel Murphys, the Jacob deGroms, the Noah Syndergaards, and the Carlos Beltrans, and the Delgados.
Well, you know, Beltran doesn't acknowledge it because the bat was too heavy for him.
Yeah, well, so Cliff Floyd. I mean, I could go on for hours about that. I think the bottom line I'm trying to say is I really, really, really hope, and I mean, it's not just because, and here's the scary thing. If Pete were to go to another team in division, you know how hard that would be for watch other Mets fans play, you know, if he went to Philadelphia or if he went to Atlanta.
Oh, it's Daniel Murphy all over again.
Not so much Daniel Murphy, but that's like every time that he comes here, it's a knife in the heart. It's a knife in the heart that'll never be that.
Oh, God, yeah, no, it's exactly. But it's Daniel Murphy all over again, because if you remember when Murphy went to the Nationals.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I forgot about that. He went to the Nationals.
And that was after he signed with the Mets, and then he got a World Series ring with them.
Right. Yeah. But you know what it is too? And it's like, you know, it's like you and Christian and Ryan bust my balls about it and stuff. I'm just a diehard Met fan that loves this team and doesn't want to see, hates to see this team go through what it's going through, because you've said it. There is a nucleus of players here that are really, really good. And there's kids down in the minor leagues that can make this team even better. But my problem is, without Pete, the heart and soul is going to leave with Pete if he goes elsewhere. And I think that's what you think I'm bitter and all that stuff. And a certain person that used to work here would say, oh, Christ, here's the blah, 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 Waz Mets thing. No, you know what it is? It's just like if that person's team lost their heart and soul, that person would be doing nothing but bitching and complaining about their team being that way. But it's just, it's the way you are about a team. I'm a blue and orange bleeding Met fan. I have been my whole life, and I always will be. Have I shit on them? Yeah, because they deserve the being shit on. And you, as a Met fan, you can't tell me I'm wrong.
No.
But I digress. But, you know, it's just, it is what it is, and I just hope, against all hope, that comes to his senses and said, look, Boris, they're offering me this, this, this. Take the deal. And if Boris says, oh, no, Pete, we can get it. No, you're going to get this deal done with them because I want to stay here.
Well, it's people like shit that happens on the fan where they're hearing fans screaming, oh, you give them $30 million a year. It's like, shut the fuck up.
No, you know what? Look, as much as I love Pete, and I do, Pete is not a $30 million type player. The reason I say that is because I saw a thing a couple of months ago. Excuse me. You might hear a lot of coughing as I'm still getting over from being sick. But they did a thing. They pulled up the other first baseman in the league. Freddie Freeman, who's been playing in the league for, what, over 10 years now?
Mm-hmm.
A little over 10 to 15 years. I forget the amount of time frame he's been here. He's not even making $30 million. And Freeman is a 7- or 8-time All-Star.
Listen,
a world...
Should he be the highest paid first baseman? Yes.
But you know what? Here's the thing. As much as Pete's been great, and Pete has been, Pete doesn't have,
he doesn't have the full package.
He doesn't have the full package. He's a good first baseman. He gives his heart, but he still needs to work on his defense
a
little
bit. Okay, here we go. So I just pulled it up.
Okay,
top 10 paid.
First baseman or just all time?
First baseman.
Okay. Right.
Number one, Freddie Freeman, 27 a year.
Right.
Then Goldschmidt is 26. Votto is 25. Olsen's 21. Abreu, 19.5. Rizzo, 17. Josh Bell, 16.5. Vladdy, 14.5. Oh, God. Eric Ho. No, sorry. Where are you?
I don't know what you're looking at. So
There it is. But Pete Alonso is the ninth highest paid first baseman in the league.
Right. Yeah, but you know what? Some of the guys.
And Max Muncy is 13.5. Sorry. Pete's getting 14.5.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. The first, let's discuss the first four, first five guys you mentioned. Freeman. Got the time, he's got the track record. He's good offensively and defensively. He's sound at both hitting and fielding.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is who? Who'd you mention?
Goldschmidt.
There's another one. Gold Glover, home run champ, batting title. He's got all the tools. Who's third on that list?
Votto, but I don't count that. That's just straight offense, okay defense, but he's been in the league forever.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Votto's on the opposite side. Almost, I think Votto's about to be 40 years old.
Yeah.
But you know what? Votto has had he's got Hall of Fame numbers.
Yeah.
Votto, and then four, you got Matt Olson. Matt Olson is got 1 or 2 years on Pete Alonso, but they're almost identical.
We can cut it right there because he's as good as Olson. Votto's an anomaly. Goldschmidt, he is. I don't think he's better than Goldschmidt or Friedman. He should be the third highest.
Who, Pete?
Yeah.
No, you're not wrong.
Which is roughly $25 million a year. That's not, listen, that's not money to sneeze at.
It's not money to sneeze at, but you know what? For a guy with the numbers of a Pete Alonso, in fact, you know what? I'll pull up his numbers as we're talking. I'll pull them up because you've brought up the other stuff. I'll bring up Pete's career numbers.
And hello, Christian.
Hello, friends.
Hello, Christian. I've returned.
About time.
No, dude, off air, I'll tell you, man, I couldn't leave my bed for 2 days. I had 100-something fever. I had a bad case of the flu. I had no voice for 2 days.
You all good now?
Well, I'm talking. Every once in a while, you might hear a couple coughing fits, but nothing like I was.
Hey, Christian, we know a man.
I haven't been on for 10 minutes.
Okay, I got his career numbers up. Now, we're talking about Pete Alonso and stuff, so I'm just going to bring up, this is career to date. That 25, almost 2,500 at-bats.
You don't even have to give the at-bats. Give the overall.
He's got 192 home runs.
There you go. RBIs, home runs, batting average.
Home runs, 192, 498 RBIs. Career batting average of 250, a on-base percentage of 342, and an OPS of 870.
There you go.
That right there, those kind of numbers, the Mets have not seen a guy with these kind of numbers that they developed themselves. So I'm sorry. If I'm Steve Cohen, I'm like, all right, I was Mr. Cheapskate this year, which he has been. You know, I don't want to buy this. Oh, we only got 10 more million left up. Bullshit. Fuck you. You just didn't want to sign anybody because you want to get burned with contracts again like you did before. But that was for – you bought two 40-year-old plus pitchers. That's why you got what you got.
I blame the fan base.
But no, but Pete and Christian, you correct me if I'm wrong because I compared him in a simple way, and I'll explain why in a second, and then we'll get your take on it. When Pete – with a guy like Pete, he was raised in this organization – developed in this organization, made himself famous in this organization by being a low-key, high-energy, a guy the fans absolutely adore, that sponsorship adores, leadership adores, the fan base over the moon with. The last time I saw a guy with this much love from a fan base and all those other things I mentioned was the guy who played shortstop cross town.
Mm-hmm.
And by, I think what I said to Ronnie beforehand, and I'll just let you go from there. I get upset about the Mets being what they are, but if the Mets lose Pete Alonso, they might lose a fan in me because the simple reason is we haven't had a guy like this since our franchise even started. Since 62 to present day, there has never been a guy that's put up the consistent numbers that Pete's put up in the 60-plus years that this franchise has been in existence. And by letting him walk away, that's spitting in the face of your fans. Because I said this before, and you could be the best judge of this. How many times when Derek was a free agent, Derek could have walked to any ownership and said, I'll play for you, give me this amount of money. You don't think they would have whipped their checkbooks out that fast?
Yeah, that's true.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Nah, that's true. You bring up a good point.
I bring up that point is because Derek was a once-in-a-lifetime Yankee.
Right.
Pete is a once-in-a-lifetime Met.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say this, and no disrespect to Derek, God forbid.
Don't disrespect DJ.
Well, wait.
Don't disrespect DJ.
Let me fucking say what I'm
going to
say.
Hold on. Let me get my gun. Okay.
I got my bat ready too, so go ahead.
As much of the guy he was in New York, would he have commanded that same respect any other place? I think because of the 90s and how media was in the 90s, he was the forefront of the Yankees. You put him in the West Coast, other than Seattle, he does not thrive.
I think you're 1,000% wrong on that one. The simple reason is because Derek was the type of player, and Christian, back me up on this. Derek was a guy that didn't get into fights with ownership, didn't get into fights with teammates, was beloved by the fans, by any fans. Hell, Boston fans loved him.
Oh, they love to hate him.
No, they respected him.
They respected him. No, I can tell you that firsthand because a guy I know from – he's a Red Sox fan. He was like, look, I can't stand the Yankees for obvious reasons. You know, the rivalry.
Uh-huh.
I hate the Yankees, but there are two guys on the Yankees I can't dislike. He goes, that's the guy that wears number 2 and the guy that wears number 42.
But here's the thing. Look at the teams you're talking about. They're all big market teams and all big media teams in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Putting him with a team like Houston, he's not getting the same thing. Because, okay, great example. Boston. It was Nomar. Nomar was the big guy than Manny and Poppy.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Nomar left to go to Los Angeles.
But that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is Nomar was not the same thing, but everybody knew Nomar. Everyone respected Nomar. Not many people in the 90s knew anything about L.A. Seattle, you had the Randy Johnsons, the A-Rods, the Ken Griffey Jr., Ken Griffey Sr. Baltimore, big-time market. You had Cal Ripken. You probably the three greatest shortstops of all time is those three. I'll fight anyone to the death that modern day A-Rod is one of the best modern day top three modern day shortstops of all time.
Yeah,
you're not wrong. I mean, look, I'm not disagreeing with
Atlanta. Everyone knew who Atlanta was because of TBS in the market, the bigger market. You didn't know anything about the Rangers because they were as much as they were big market. When it came to television, no, but they were never on.
Okay, all right.
The Yankees were on everywhere.
Okay, but here, I got to throw this little monkey wrench at you, and you'll see why I'm going with this in a minute. You just said Texas.
Yeah.
When Alex Rodriguez left the Mariners, he went to the Rangers.
Which was 06, right?
I don't remember when that was. Christian, you have to help me out.
He went in 2000 to the Rangers.
Right, right. So – going to the Rangers automatically propelled themselves to another level because they were getting one of the marquee, like you've said it, a marquee shortstop and a marquee star.
But I'm going to throw this monkey wrench in there. In the 2000s, what was big? What was big in the 2000s? Christian, you already know the answer to this.
It was the home run ball.
No. What was big in the 2000s? The internet. You could follow anything in chat rooms at that time. The 90s, when Jeter was big, you couldn't.
But the whole point I'm trying to – the whole point of this whole situation is Derek – I have nothing but love and respect for Derek Jeter. I've never hated the man. I've always had – because he was one of those Yankees that was class. He showed class on the field, off the field. You know, the
By
whole
the way,
basket.
Christian, 01.
01, he was the Ranger?
That's when he signed with the – he was a
– You know, the whole gift basket joke thing aside.
Did he? Who, A-Rod?
Yeah,
A-Rod. Yeah, I looked it up.
He was a free agent in 2000. He signed in 01.
Yes, yeah, that's –
Right.
But Derek Jeter was always a class act on and off the field.
Oh, I'm not saying that he wasn't.
Pete was always a first-class guy on and off the field.
But what I'm just trying to say is it's not anything about his play. It's about him. It's about his business. I'll give a great example. Michael Jordan, MJ. If you put him in a small market, small television market group, as much as we will still be saying he is the greatest, would he get the marketing that he would have had as Chicago was in the big market team of Chicago? Because Chicago always came to New York. They went to L.A., big market. Kobe's the same way. It's nothing that it is today where you could be the biggest star and play in Milwaukee.
Yeah,
when,
but here...
When Kareem played with Milwaukee, did anyone care?
But when he went
to L.A., did everybody care?
Yeah, because it was a bigger market.
Thank you. That's my point. I'm saying if you put Derek in a small market, he's going to still be the greatest player of all time, but his brand will not.
Yeah.
You're not – I mean, I see where you're going with that, but my whole thing is right now it's like regardless of small market, we already know Pete would only – I mean, there's only – I could only name about maybe five or six teams that would be willing to pony up the money for a guy like him. The Mets, the Dodgers, the Yankees, possibly the Red Sox, and maybe – in a pinch, I'd say damn near. I'd even say the Houston Astros, but that would be a long shot. But I don't see Pete going to an Oakland A Kansas City Royal, a Minnesota Twins. Hell, I might even throw the Cincinnati Reds in on that because the Reds have become a juggernaut of a team with all the young talent they got coming up. But the whole point I'm trying to make is like, there's not a lot of teams that could afford him or would be willing to give him some ridiculous type of money. The Dodgers, they're throwing money left, right, forwards, and backwards on guys. And, yeah, I want to see the Dodgers where they are at the end of the year after all this, these players they bought in the offseason. You know, let's see where Shohei and Ujimamoto or whatever the hell his name is and, you know, Teoscar and all these guys that they went in and gave these big-ass contracts to.
Okay, you know what? I have one other one.
Power glass jaw and all that stuff.
And I'll use another example that's more modern. If Shohei Ohtani played in the 90s and he was on the Angels, would we care? Would we know anything about him?
I think we would have. Because if he was still a two-way player, we'd still hear about it because that would have been unheard of. Just like it was when it was now.
But I don't think we would have heard as much as we could have helped in the 90s.
I can't.
You got to remember. Media back then was the newspapers. You know this. All three of us know this. We all grew up in this. We all grew up around this. Me and Christian, granted, grew up at the tail end of it. You knew about it though, John.
I was there at the front runner of it. Yeah.
Like we grew up at the tail end of the. And I've always said it on air. I'm sitting here. The team fighting for the back pages.
Oh, yeah, totally. But you know what? You know what the problem is with the back page back then? That's when Mr. Steinbrenner was still alive.
Right.
And Mr. Steinbrenner hated when the Mets made the back page over him.
Right. And now it's awesome. But now the back pages have to deal with Philly.
Not, you know what? Not as much as you.
Not as much as anymore, but they used to.
Well, the only reason that the Philadelphia team would make the back pages is if they made a monumental blockbuster signing, like when they signed Bryce. That's when they signed. Was it Trey Turner or no? Is he on the Phillies now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Trey Turner. Yeah, I'm still a little cloudy on things.
Yeah.
I mean, and they, you know, when they made a big splash when they re-signed Aaron Nola, which. Nobody saw that coming.
God forbid, they couldn't sign his brother.
Austin Nola, yeah. And then
the minor league deal for the Brewers.
And then you had, you know, the JTs and stuff like that. The Phillies always made the back page, but it was always for a blockbuster signing.
But John, the back pages were for the Yankees this couple last weeks. They signed Stroman.
Christian, my condolences for signing that head kick. Now that you got to deal with that head case.
Damn, she thick. I'm sorry. What'd you say?
No, about...
You looking at that women of sports page I sent you?
No.
Or is she just being sarcastic?
Nah, for real. Like, nah. I see one right here. Yeah, she is my type. Anyway, my bad. Yeah, my bad. I was on a date now. All right, what'd you say about Marcus Stroman?
All right, swipe left and swipe right. I get it. Don't make me send you some bikini Trish photos because then you'll log off. But no, I said I said, my condolences for signing that head case in Strowman. I don't care what – no, Christian, look. We've said it on this – now, when it comes to certain players, yeah. When it comes to him, you know my hatred for him. I'm not going to show any respect to that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not for his attitude and not for his mouth, because his mouth has gotten him into trouble in the past. And I think now that he's with the Yankees, he's going to really have to watch his tone, because if he doesn't, Yankee fans are going to hang him and crucify him big time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's funny, though, John?
No, let me get this. Let me get the rest of this out. Because when he was with the Mets and when he fucked up, you notice he didn't really mouth. He mouthed off the Mets fans because he didn't think Mets fans would care. And the Mets fans didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You mouth off and disrespect Yankee fans? I'd be wearing a bulletproof vest to my car, motherfucker.
Here's the scary part. If you remember when they traded him to the Mets, he wanted to be a Yankee.
Yeah, he pouted. He bitched and complained. He threw a tantrum.
So him going to the Yankees, he's finally got what he wants. He wanted to be on his team.
Yeah, but then you know what it is? Look, as a pitcher, he's mediocre. He's a mediocre pitcher. He's above average pitcher. He's not an ace. He's not a superstar. He's not going to be a megastar.
No, he's a guy that's going to be in the third. He's going to be in the 3, 4, or 5 hole.
He's a guy who will give you innings. He's mediocre. And I'm not going to sit here and saying he's God's gift to pitching, because I could name about 20 pitchers off the top of my head that are better than him, hands down. He's not with us anymore. He's your headache now. That's all I got to say, Christian. He's your headache now.
Yeah.
Good luck dealing with him. Because,
yeah, I want to see what happens.
Because I guarantee you this, and I'm almost willing to put money on this, the first bad outing he has where he gets shelled and the fans boo him out of the place and he says he pulls a Blackjack McDowell on him, they will call for his head so fast, his grandkids will be still feeling the pain.
I'll say this. The Mets are pretty much done with signings. You got the best chance of getting fucking Bauer now.
Who, the Yankees do?
Yeah.
So you can go from one headache to a double dose of headache.
I swear to God, I think Bauer is going to shock the fucking world. I would not be surprised if he comes back and fucking lights everybody up.
Let me ask you this. All right, some team takes a flyer on him, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not saying who. Anybody takes a flyer on him.
Yeah.
He comes in and stinks up the joint and is absolutely rock-shelled, knocked around, can't pitch himself out of a first inning. Will you come on this show and say, you guys were right about him?
Oh, I mean, if he doesn't have it, he doesn't have it. But from what I've seen in his stuff internationally, and from what I've seen from his stuff online, because he's put up his private freaking training, his private pitching training on YouTube and all that, everyone can go see it. He's still throwing with velocity. He added a new pitch, and he's obviously, you got to get in front of live pitching, clearly.
Christian,
but,
you notice he's avoiding the question?
No, I said if he doesn't have it, I'll say he doesn't have it.
No, I said, but I said, will you come on the show and go, you guys are, especially you, John, you were right about Bauer. He didn't have it. He shouldn't have come back.
No. You said one outing. I will not say it for one outing. If he
No, no, I said if he comes back and he shits the bed this whole season.
I don't think, because guess what? When he went to China, he shit the bed for a month.
Yeah. You're also talking about two different leagues. You're talking about a league that has...
Surprisingly, have you ever watched international?
Yes, I have.
It's a lot faster than it is here.
What I'm just saying is the ball size is different. Their strike zone is different. Their approach to hitting is different than it is here.
Okay. I understand that.
You're talking about a guy who's had, I don't know how many years Bauer was in the league before he left. Six or seven, whatever. And is going to a different league where they've never seen him. where he could basically throw whatever he wants at these guys. And the only reason I think he got knocked around as much as he did in the beginning is because he hadn't pitched in a year. That's why I think he got knocked around.
Here's the thing. If it was just him pitching normally, and it was only he was going out and pitching six innings, going no hit, six innings, not really trying his stuff, just being like, whatever, I'm not here. When was the last time, and Christian, you answer this too, you saw, it doesn't matter what the size of the ball is, it doesn't matter this, when was the last time you saw a guy pitch a 10-inning no-hitter? Still hit 95 on the gun.
Look, I'm not denying that's not an awesome feat, but then again, like I said before, and like you can agree or disagree with me, but it's my opinion and I'm going to state it. Two different leagues, two different type of hitters.
But I understand that.
I don't think Bauer could get away with throwing a 10-hit no-hitter here in the States.
But that's not the argument. The argument is can he still throw? The arm is still good. The reason I'm saying 10-inning no-hitter is impressive, yeah, it's because he's throwing 10 innings. He threw 150 pitches, and his arm was still clocking in at 95-mile-an-hour fastball.
That's a freak. Riddle me this, Batman. Bartolo Colon, just 2 years ago, when he was still trying to get back into the league, at 47 years old, was hitting 95-plus on the gun. What's your point? I don't care. Bartolo was doing it near 50 years old.
Bartolo was only throwing 4 or 5 innings.
But still, Bartolo in his late 40s was still throwing in the high 90s.
Yeah, and he was still trying to get on major league teams. He was still a major league style pitcher. The problem is no one wanted to sign a 40-year-old, almost a 50-year-old pitcher.
Right, but
not,
you know
what? This is not the rookie.
He was in his 30s. Watch it there. You guys, he's around your guys' age, so be careful with that.
What I'm saying is, though, here's the thing. Bauer's still in his prime. Even though he was out for 2 years, Bauer's still in his prime. Is he a hot case? Yeah, he is. Is it a tragedy, the fact that he's still not in the league? Yeah, it is, because he was wrongly accused, and the chick literally walked away with nothing because... oh, there was a settlement. No, it's because both lawsuits were going to cancel each other out. People need to get the facts straight on that one. Bauer would have won his suit, and so would she.
Look, I'm going to say that, and I've said this before, and I'll say this thing. Was he railroaded? Yes. Was he completely railroaded and screwed over on that regard? Absolutely. I'll defend him on that regard. The thing I don't like about Bauer is I don't like his attitude.
But then also, but here's the thing. Other people change. The people change.
You know what?
Let me ask you this, because this is actually going to lead into another conversation that we'll talk about real quick that I want to bring up. You have an issue with Bauer. I fully understand that. Respect that, Christian. I know you you like the player, maybe not like the person. I don't know.
I mean, I barely think about him, to be honest.
Okay.
So
let me ask you this. The Mets are going to retire Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry's jersey.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to cheer for Daryl when he gets his number retired?
Because you know what? In the beginning of his career, Daryl and Doc both were exceptional players. They just got caught up in something that was called the 1980s.
But Daryl also went to jail for... what was it? Not killing someone. He was it manslaughter?
No, Daryl, no.
He drunk driving. He went.
That was Doc, not Daryl. That was Doc that had the drugs and alcohol problem. He drank and he did drugs too, but Doc was the bigger, Doc was the bigger addict out of the two.
Daryl Strawberry, 18 months in prison for 6 violations of his probation.
Look, were they, am I saying they were angels? No.
No, that's not what I'm getting the facts right that Daryl was in jail. Because Daryl did go to prison.
But it was for violations of his parole because he fell off the wagon and stuff like that. And Doc had the same issue. Look, when if Doc had his head on straight, if Doc and Darryl played the game today, they'd both be MLB Hall of Famers. If they didn't fuck their lives up. Because Doc and Darryl were anomalies. Doc was what, 19 years old when he came into the league?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Doc, I mean, that you're taking a 19-year-old kid in the excuse me, in the decade of excess, the 1980s, that when anybody young, I mean, you could look at we could attribute that to TV stars, movie stars, athletes in the 1980s. They get a little bit of money in their hands. The first thing they're going to do is blow it on stupid shit and become statistics of the 1980s.
But here's the thing. So it was 22 months in prison for violation of a non-drug related rule that from a drug treatment center.
Yeah,
I want to just get that back straight. But here,
but he didn't kill anybody like you were.
No,
trying to
no. But that's what I said. here's the thing. The point I'm saying is there are people that will stand up and do backflips for Darryl, but then will turn around and say Trevor Bauer is the scum of the earth.
No, you know what? Look,
I'm not saying you. I'm saying there are people, though, that there are people that have called into the fucking fan on BT and Sal. Yeah, I'll name drop them. Fuck you two. You fucking overrated hacks.
New Mike and the Mad Dog, those two.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what they are. They're Mike and the Mad Dog. Don't get me started on Mad Dog. Fucking saying Shaq is the fifth best center of Shaq's the fifth best center of all.
You know what? Out of the two of them,
Wait.
No, Christian, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Keep your guns loaded. We'll get to that. We're not going to get to that because we're going to go off topic. But
I'll bring it back. Trust me.
He'll bring it back. So channel all your anger for everything you want to say.
We don't have a lot of news. We'll bring it back.
My ass.
But what it is, too, it's about, look, Bauer, from a legal standpoint, he got completely fucked and railroaded. Just like, what's his name, got the one that wrestled, what's his name, with the microphone. Why am I drawing up?
I thought you were about to say Sonny. No, she got what she deserved.
No, the Enzo.
Oh, okay, yes.
What with the shit that happened with him. The girl claims he did this, and this. It all turned out to be bullshit. She fucked the guy, then she went and told her her daddy found out, and she fabricated the lie, which basically fucked his career up. That's Trevor Bauer is the Enzo Amore of baseball.
But that's
the point. Look, were both of them railroaded? Yeah. Legally, from a standpoint, I don't agree with these chicks. They were wrong in what they accused them of.
Trevor should have never been kicked out of the league.
No, he shouldn't have. And you're right. And I'm not disagreeing with you on that. The thing that I dislike about him, I don't like Trevor Bauer, the person. I don't like his attitude. I don't like the way he carries himself. I don't like the way he thinks his shit don't stink. I'm not crazy about that part of him.
He is a major league player. He is a diva.
No, there's divas and there's fucking Trevor Bauer. But anyway, I digress. But that's the point I'm trying to make. And it's just like, I don't like guy who played in Philly and was with the Dodgers, Chase Utley. Don't like him for the same fucking reason.
Hey, Christian.
I don't like his off the field shit. I like his mouth.
Yeah, sorry, John. Christian, I just sent you the video for
Trish Stratus in a bikini?
No, the video of Mad Dog Russo about Shaq. Watch it. We'll bring it back because I want to get into the Hall of Fame stuff for this year.
Yeah, kiss my ass.
All right. So anyway, moving on. The voting result, not the voting results, but the voting ballot came out for class of 2024. New to the list, Jose Bautista, Adrian Beltre, Bartolo Colon, Adrian Gonzalez, Matt Holliday, Victor Martinez, Joe Mauer, Brendan Phillips, Jose Reyes, James Shields, Chase Slutley, and David Wright.
Yeah, Christian, calm down. I sent you something to calm you down.
Where did you send that video?
Facebook.
And I sent it in Skype, so that'll calm you down, Christian.
So on top of that, you're also getting players like Torrey Hunter, who's his fourth, Francisco Rodriguez, which is his second. Mark Burley?
Mark
fourth.
Burley,
Jimmy Rollins, Bobby Abreu, Pettit, Omar Vasquez, Manny Ramirez, A-Rod, Carlos Beltran, Gary Sheffield, Andrew Jones, Billy Wagner, and Todd Helton.
No, this motherfucker did not say Jack is the fifth best.
Gary
Christian,
Sheffield.
And all I'm going to say is she's 48 years old in that picture.
All right.
All I'm going
to
say.
Stay on topic. Gary Sheffield, this is Gary Sheffield's last chance to get into the Hall. 10th.
But you know what? I have a feeling Sheffield's going to make it on a on what do they call that? What's the other Hall of Fame thing?
The committee.
The Hall of Fame committee. He's going to be a Hall of Famer because he deserves to be. Because Sheffield was always a good ball player. He was another one that had personality to burn that could have.
So, out of all these, do we have another year where no one gets in?
No. Because Billy Wagner, the last time I checked.
This is his ninth.
Yeah, but he also had about 72 or 73% of the vote last year. Billy's going to make it, I think, on this year's ballot.
Unfortunately, Wright is going to be gone.
Look, and I'll say this before, and you and I
talked
about
that. That's more injury, though.
That's it. The only thing is, look, as a player and as a guy, Captain America, he was a great Met. If his injuries hadn't cut his career short, I would have said first ballot Hall of Famer. Unfortunately, injuries are going to keep him out of the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, but he's a Met Hall of Famer. I don't know if he's a Met Hall of Famer yet.
They haven't retired his jersey yet. So.
And I have a feeling number 5 will get retired by then. But as a regular Hall of Famer, no. And it hurts me to say that.
So I'll go from the bottom. Utley, probably stay on the ballot. He'll stay on the ballot. He'll get
Fuck
enough
him.
Votes. But he'll get enough votes to stay on the ballot.
Yeah, but he's not going to be a Hall of Famer.
Not yet.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think he's...
James Shields?
No.
Jose Reyes will probably get enough
votes. Jose Reyes is going to be a Met Hall of Famer. He's not a Major League Hall of Famer.
Brendan Phillips?
No.
Joe Mauer?
Joe Mauer, I think he's got the numbers to do so. Joe Mauer was a lifelong twin. He started off as a catcher, became a first baseman. Once he became a first baseman, his career skyrocketed. Nothing but respect, Hall of Famer. Christian, are you going to chime in on these, or are you just...
He's watching the video right now.
Oh, I thought he was looking at Trish, too.
No. Victor Martinez?
No.
Matt Holliday?
That one's a 50-50 one because Matt Holliday hit a lot of home runs, but I don't know. He's 50-50. He could go either way.
He'll stay on the ballot for next
He'll
year.
Stay on the ballot, but I don't know if he'll make the Hall of Fame. He might make it a...
Adrian Gonzalez?
No.
Big Sexy Bartolo?
He's another 50-50 guy.
I don't think so. He'll be a Met, but he won't be a... He might be a one-and-done.
No, Bartolo might stick around because Bartolo had a longevity to his career.
Yeah.
He might stay. He may only be on there. I think he's going to make it past this year, but I don't know if he's going to make it into the Hall. But he's going to stay on there for at least a couple of years.
Adrian Beltre?
Absolutely.
Oh, Beltre definitely is going to be a Hall of Famer.
He's first ballot.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he gets in first ballot, but...
He's first ballot. I said what I...
No, no, and I agree with Christian on that one, because Beltre had a hell of a career.
I'm not saying he didn't, but I think the way the committee is, he's not going to get in first. He'll get in.
Listen, I'm already in a bad mood. Don't add to it.
Christian, that picture didn't help.
Okay,
I need
there.
To see the picture.
Okay,
I
there,
said
it's
in a bad mood.
Look at the Skype chat, will you?
Which one? There's like 10 of them.
No, I just sent it today.
Oh, holy
And that's a 48-year-old woman there.
All right, all right, all right. right, let's keep moving. Jose Bautista.
And three kids. Do the math.
Jose Barista.
Is that the one with the bat flip, Mr. Bat Flip?
Yes, from Blue Jays, the Met.
He's 50-50. He's 50-50.
Nah, I'll say nah. Nah.
He'll get enough to stay on. He'll get enough to stay on.
He'll stay on, but I don't think he's going to make it.
I don't know. Look, he's in my Hall of Fame of classic moments because the way he knocked out Rube Neto Odor, Lord have mercy.
No, Rube Neto Odor hit knocked him out.
Was that what it was?
Odor punched him. Oh, he didn't punch Odor. Odor punched him.
Oh, okay.
There's slow motion. All you see is Batista's fake beard hair going all across.
Oh, he doesn't deserve to be in. You can't get all right.
So now we're getting the guys that have been in more than once. Torrey Hunter.
Hell no.
No.
Did you say Joe Mauer's name?
Yeah, but Mauer.
I said Joe Mauer is going to get in.
Joe Mauer's first ballot.
Yeah, I agree with that one. Chris, Ronnie, go over them again. Go over the ones that he missed.
All right, we'll go quick. Wright, no.
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 Utley?
Hell no.
Thank you.
James Shields?
No.
Nah.
Jose Reyes?
Absolutely not.
As a Met? Yeah, as a Met Hall of Famer, yeah. Major League, no.
Brandon Phillips?
No.
Mauer?
Yes.
Absolutely.
He'll get in. I don't know if it'd be off of this, but he'll get in.
He's getting in first ballot.
I don't know if he's going to go in this year, but he might definitely go in next year. He's going to go in. We're not denying he's going in. It's just going to be like, how long does it take before he gets in?
Disrespectful.
Wait until I tell you the other people on the list. Victor Martinez.
No.
Hell no.
Matt Holliday.
No.
I know. Christian, Matt Holliday did hit a lot of hit a lot of home runs. He's a 50-50 guy.
Man.
Adrian Gonzalez.
Fuck no.
Big Sexy Bartolo Colon.
He'll get in for the longevity factor.
That's what I said. The longevity of his career is what might put him in there. And his personality and type of player he was.
Adrian Beltre.
Beltre,
absolutely.
Yes. We already said that.
And Jose Barista.
Say his name right.
Oh, no, I said his name right. It's not Batista, it's Barista, because he always was making fucking high venti lattes to fucking get out of the park in Toronto. He's that iconic fucking throw the bat on the playoff game.
He'll get in, but in a few years.
Yeah, he's not going to be a first ballot.
All right, now
All I know is Gary Sheffield needs to be in.
We'll get to him.
We're getting to him.
Those were all the first guys. This is the first time on the list.
Yeah,
now it's
first
people
time.
That have been multiple. So Torrey Hunter.
No.
Nah.
Francisco Rodriguez.
K-Rod.
Not K-Rod.
Yeah.
No. It is K-Rod. Wow.
Yeah.
Why the fuck did they use an Oriole jersey with him?
Because he spent a lot of – he was with them for a while.
See, what's funny is I don't know him as –
Well, I remember him as a Met. That's why I remember him as a Met. But anyway, as a reliever, yeah, as a closer, definitely. He might get in. May not be first ballot, but he'll get in.
Yep. All right. Mark Burley?
No. No.
Jimmy, I like to call myself in the third person, Rollins?
Fuck no. I'm sorry. He's another one I didn't like. I didn't like him and Utley, man. I didn't like either one of those Philadelphia.
So damn disrespectful.
For longevity.
Christian, how often do I disagree with you?
It's rare.
Exactly.
Listen,
for longevity, he played 16 years in the league. He'll get in. Maybe not this year, but he'll get in.
He was another one. I didn't like his personality, but that's the only reason that
He'll get his flowers sooner or later.
Let's move on.
Bobby Abreu.
Nah.
I want to say yeah, but no. He didn't really do enough.
Here's a tough one. We all are going to say yes, but it's a steroid user.
Who?
Andy Pettitte.
Pettitte, definitely.
Yeah. Andy should be in.
He should be in just for his playoff appearance.
Again, we all say yes. Will they put him in?
I think so.
The writers? the writers have made it perfectly clear that if you've been busted for HGH, they ain't putting you in.
They better not give any votes to fucking Roger Clemens then. Because Clemens is the same fucking boat.
Clemens is off the list.
No, he's not. He's got 1 year left, I think.
No, he's not on this list.
Then he's going to make, you know what? Clemens is going to make the committee.
That's the thing. The committee can put him in because it's not the writers voting it. Listen, I agree. Pettit should be in because he did nothing wrong. He did not use HGH for a competitive advantage. He used HGH to recover faster.
But you know what? Pettit, a lot of people don't realize this. And Christian, you know this. He, when it came to playoff time, you wanted him on the hill, and you wanted to give him the ball.
His nickname is Big Game Andy for a reason. I'll never forget. I'll never forget. 2007, we were playing Cleveland in the ALDS, and Chin-Ming Wong shit the bed in game one, right? I mean, I don't even think Wong made it to the third inning. Next day, we had Andy on the mound. This was you remember the game when the Yankees had all the bugs on them? Remember that?
Oh, I remember that one, yeah.
This was that game. Andy Pettit threw seven innings, and he limited that Cleveland offense, which was really good that year. He limited them to, like, two hits, but it was the bullpen that screwed it up.
But the thing is, though, is
all right. Then I got to. There's two instances with Andy Pettit that I want to bring up. That he was a born and raised Texas boy, and he grew and he pitched that opening game in the fucking snow and pitched beautifully. And the second game was the 1996 World Series game 5 or 6 against the Atlanta Braves, where it's a one hit shutout where he went 9. That right there is why Pettit should be a fucking Hall of Famer.
The problem is it's not the committee voting. It's not the fans voting. I really wish the fans would be able to vote for some of this, or at least have a option to have one fan vote them in. Not the writers, because the writers show so much bias, and we'll get to it by next couple players that are on here, that Andy Pettit did not do any, like, I'm sorry. Major League Baseball allowed, they turned their backs on steroid use. And they didn't give a shit because to them, it was making them money. And these writers, to sit there and tell the fans, oh, we know who should be in. Clearly you don't, because this man's not in yet. And there's about 4 or 5 people on this list that should be in the Hall of Fame that are not. The next guy on this list is Omar Vasquez.
Vasquez.
Or sorry, Vizquel.
Omar Vizquel. I know who you're talking about. There's a guy that was a decent shortstop and was a good hitter. I say yes on that because he also had longevity in his career. I give him a pass on that. I think he gets in.
Christian?
Yeah, I can see him getting in because, you know, he was another one that was like a popular shortstop during my era.
Excuse me.
I'll say yes.
Next is Manny. Eddie Ramirez.
Cool.
Another guy who has longevity, another guy who was tied into the steroid usage.
He has the numbers.
And he has the numbers, and also he closes his career with the rings. With a ring. And also, remember, he's the one that brought, and don't mean to be, he's the one that brought Boston out of the slump.
Fuck you.
Him and Pop are the two that brought him out of the slump.
Man, kiss my...
Hey, at least I'm not talking about no bloody fucking sock.
Okay, good.
Because fuck him. Not for his playing, but fuck him for his business models.
Who, that one player who remains to be nameless?
Yeah. The one that still owes the state of Rhode Island $5.8 million.
And the one who ousted his teammate?
Yep.
And he still hasn't shown face after that, right?
Nope. Nope, but Manny should get in.
Yeah, I mean, if Poppy is in, Manny should be in.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. Oh, well, Manny was tied to steroids. Who the fuck cares?
So was Poppy.
Yeah. Yeah. Manny,
you know what,
I think Manny, did Manny get suspended for it?
Yeah, he did.
So Manny should still be in, though, because I'm sorry.
Look, A-Rod needs to be in.
Well, he's the next one on the list. Chris, John, I know you wanted to say something about Manny. Say something. Go.
Manny is, look, was the guy a dominating force in sports? Yes. Was he a marquee name? Yes. Did he put up a lot of great numbers? Yes. Personality-wise, kind of an asshole. But he's a guy, in my opinion, could go either way. Me, if it were me personally, I'd say no, but I know my vote doesn't really care. I know my vote doesn't carry much weight. But me... I think there's too many off-the-field shit that really kind of hurt his name, so I got to say no on
that. Here's the problem with the Hall of Fame voting, because you're not wrong, because this is the reason why Bonds is not in. Bonds is not in because of the quote-unquote off-the-field shit. I'm sorry. What did the man do on the diamond?
Dominated.
He's a Hall of Famer. The fact that the voters are the writers and they felt like they were disrespected. I'm sorry. It's not a popularity contest. This is about what you do between the foul lines.
Yeah, because, you know, it's so funny you bring that up. I remember the Pro Football Hall of Fame did this with Terrell Owens.
Yep.
Because, look, you can't sit here and deny T.O. should have been in on the first ballot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Especially that Super Bowl playing with a broken foot.
That right there put him in. You know, and then he's ranked third all time in a lot of major statistical categories. Yeah, my thing is, you know, with Barry, yeah, they want to hold that over his head. You know, but the Hall of Fame is what you did in your sport. It's not what you did off the playing surface.
But here's the thing. Why? And this is another thing. I'm going to say, talk about the greatest of all time, Michael, in basketball. We never talk about his off the field. We never talk about his off the field. The fact that he was an addictive gambler, he was an asshole to everybody except the media.
He still is an asshole.
But that's not my point. I'm saying as though is when he was playing in between the fucking baselines, he was the greatest ever do it. We never talk about the fact that he would go gamble and spend $1 million. If he was in New York, after that horn hit, he's in Atlantic City playing $250,000 worth of blackjack.
Yeah, and he probably would have took your wife somewhere, too.
But nobody ever speaks of that.
You know why they don't speak of that?
Because
he was winning.
Yeah, but again, when it came to... the great, like, yeah, in between, you can be an asshole as a person, but if you are the best in your sport, that's a different argument. And me and John know this. It's the Chris Benoit argument.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I don't know if I would.
But wait, let me explain. In the ring, best ever do it. As a person... He's a fucking murderer. Allegedly. I gotta say that for legal reasons. But I'm saying as though there's two sides of every person. There's what they do in front of the camera and how they act off the camera. Bonds was a dick in front of the media. We know this.
Bonds was a douchebag, and that's another reason why I don't like him either.
But when it came to him being in the batter's box, he's the best as a hitter. He's the best to ever come, and also one of the best vision as a player. Because let's face it, how many walks did he have?
Steroids are a hell of a drug.
Hey,
here's the thing: steroids or not, he still had to put bat on ball.
But no, but you know what it is, too.
Steroids do not make you magically stronger.
But you know what? And like I said, All right, you want to do the rest of this list?
Yeah. Well, the next is A-Rod.
A-Rod.
At this point, he should be a Hall of Famer. Even if you take out the 3 years he was in Texas, he still has Hall of Fame numbers.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to discount that. You know, look, has he been the cleanest, you know, squeaky cleanest? No. But he did put up a lot of respectable numbers in Seattle, too.
But that's the thing. I'm even just talking about, okay, he did steroids. They're saying he did steroids when he was with the Rangers. Fine. Take those 3 years out. He still hits over 500 home runs. Yeah.
I think didn't he end up with, like, what was his final total?
I'll pull it up.
696.
Was it 696?
I think so.
Yeah, 696.
Look, with those kind of numbers, absolutely. I mean, like I said, there's certain players that, you know, has he been a douche off the field at times? Yeah. I think anybody's going to disagree with that.
But here's the thing. When it came down to it, even when he was with Texas, he still put up, he still, and his career without Texas being there, he still is over 500. He's still over 500 home runs, close to 600. He's still over 1,000 ribbies. He still has Hall of Fame numbers. He still has over 2,000 hits. But, oh, well, he did steroids. Okay, take that out then. He's still a Hall of Famer.
I don't disagree with you.
One guy that this argument between, he did steroids. I go, okay. Well, he got caught. Okay. Did he still hit when he was off him? Well, yeah. Then what the fuck does it matter? You can take steroids as a recovering agent. That's what I think people don't understand either. Oh, well, he's pumping himself up with creatine and HGH to make himself stronger. Okay, and you still have to put bat on ball. So it doesn't matter how strong you are. You could be the world's strongest man and not touch a fucking 102-mile-an-hour fastball from Randy Johnson. Then again, too, you could be so big and strong you can't wipe your own ass. But that's a whole other issue.
What is this, Big Daddy? I wipe my own ass. I wipe my own ass.
A-Rod was one of the fastest players to hit 100 home runs.
Pete gave him a run for his money.
Yep. He was on a team that, let's face it, if it wasn't for the Yankees, A-Rod would have gotten a ring probably if it wasn't for the 98 Yankees.
All right, I got to bring up, when we're done with this, I want to bring up a player from the 70s that's not in the Hall that I want to get your guys' take on when we're done with this discussion.
But the thing is now that we know more about HGH and steroids and what it actually could be used for, it doesn't matter. Oh, these guys are strong. Yeah, they're strong. They still have to hit the ball. It's not. It's like Ricky Williams with his weed. It didn't make him fucking Superman. But it did stop him from having very bad injuries. It was a recovering agent. You can use it as a recovering agent, too. People don't realize that. Granted, I'm not a doctor, but fuck you.
Okay, who else we got on the list?
Carlos Beltran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though the bat weighed 100 pounds in the playoffs. Hit a fucking curveball. Gary, Sheffield.
Sheffield, yes.
It's his last time on the ballot, so it's either he's not in as a voter voting from the...
He's going to end up with the Jim Rice thing. He's going to go in on the players' committee.
Yep. Andrew Jones?
He had a great start to his career, kind of floundered towards the end. I say no.
Nah.
He might get another... He's going to be a guy that's going to probably get to the 10th and then get in. Billy Wagner.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
And finally, Todd Helton.
Definitely.
Yeah. He'll get in.
John, he's at six.
because he had Helton had batting titles, home run titles, RBI titles, all in Colorado when Colorado did a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah. John, say what you got to say. I gotta be right back.
Okay, well, we'll discuss it too. But, Christian, I want to get your take. I saw an article a couple of days ago when I was sick, because trust me, that's all I could do was look on the computer or on my phone.
Uh-huh.
Somebody brought up an argument for a player that played for the Yankees, played 11 years with the Yankees, but unfortunately passed away in 1979. A lot of people are claiming, are clamoring to have Thurman Munson in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to read off his, this is where his stats ended, unfortunately, when he passed away.
Okay.
He had 113 home runs, a career batting average of .292, a career batting RBI of .701, a OBP of .346, a slugging of .410, an OPS of .756, and an OPS plus of .116. Now, sentimentally, I'm sure Yankee fans are like, yeah, I want him in there because he's sentimental favorite. But my argument is this. For the sentimental thing, do I want him in the Hall of Fame? Yes, because he was a lifelong Yankee, and he was a great Yankee when he was here. He was through there through all the championship years. He was there in 78, 70, 77 and 78 and all that stuff. But then again, some people brought up the David Wright argument. He didn't play long enough. You know, there's no saying what he could have done had he... The guy I'm talking about is Thurman Munson.
Oh, good old Thurman?
A lot of people, like I was saying to Chris just now, I read his stats off. I'll read his thing. He had 113 home runs, a .292 career batting average, 701 RBIs, an OPP of .346, slugging .410, OPS .756, and a OPS plus of .116.
I don't know. Well, before I get into that, Ronnie, you should do this with the Pro Football Hall of Fame as well.
Oh, we could tackle that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They just announced it, didn't they?
Yeah. You want to find that, and then we can kind of or.
I'll find it. Well, when we get to football, we'll go into that. So I'll pull it up now.
Okay. So, all right. But my thing,
John. I mean, I think to be a baseball Hall of Famer, you need at least maybe 250 home runs. Like, let me see how many home runs Derek Jeter had, because he wasn't a primary home run hitter.
Well, usually the people that have always done the, oh, well, he's a Hall of Famer, it's either 2,000 hits or 300 dingers.
All right, let me see.
Derek Jeter now. I'm pulling up. All right,
Jeter had 260 home runs, but I think what put Derek in was he's sixth all-time on the hits list.
And also, what put Derek in there too? He had 1,300 RBIs. He had over 3,000 hits. That's what did him. And also Derek had how many gold gloves did Derek have?
Five.
Right there.
And then he had five silver sluggers.
Right. So his numbers. You know, that's apples to oranges and stuff like that. But when it comes to somebody like Thurman, Yankee fans are starting to clamor and like, oh, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But here's the thing, too. Here's the argument that a lot of people are bringing up, and you weren't here for Ronnie. You stepped in. He's in the same boat as a David Wright. Had he not passed away in that plane crash, who's to say what he would have done? Would his career gotten better, or could it have regressed? We'll never know. Same thing with David Wright. Will his career flourish or will it have decreased? You know, and it's sentimental. Oh, he's a Yankee Hall of Famer. He's in Monument Park. His number's retired. That's all. You know, and his locker is still unused in Yankee Stadium. When they moved from the old Yankee Stadium to the new Yankee Stadium, they brought his locker over, and it is still unused. It has not been used since the day he died. That's respect. But that's from the team. But I want to get your guys' take on, do you think he should be a MLB Hall of Famer? I want to get both your guys' take on it.
Yeah, that's kind of tough.
See,
wow.
it's also one of those things, too, where we never saw him play.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to see Thurman play. That's the thing. I went to a Yankee game when I was about 8 or 9 years old. I got to see Thurman Munson play. The guy played his heart out. That guy, you want to talk about in the later year? You see, this is why I was saying about the health thing. What a lot of guys don't realize is Thurman was a catcher and a catcher exclusively. Thurman died. He was what? How old was Thurman when he passed away? Let's see. Thurman was 32 years old at the time of his passing. At 32, he could barely walk right because his knees were getting so bad because from catching. I mean, the guy caught 150, 160 games every year. And this was back in the days when you could barrel into the catcher, practically knock the catcher into the first fucking row of the fans. You can't do that now. The Buster Posey rule. Would he have become a DH or a first baseman? We'll never know. But the reason I say this, because there's a guy that got into the Hall of Fame, I don't know if it was last year or this year, was Gil Hodges finally got voted into the Hall of Fame. Gil Hodges was a mediocre player at best. His best days were when he was the manager with the Mets. And it took almost 40 years or 50 years after his death for him to finally get in as a manager. I don't know if I think they're putting him in as a manager, not as a player. I don't know about Thurman. Thurman, even though he's a crosstown team, a crosstown guy with the Yankees, I think he should go in just on the sheer guts of how he played. Is there certain guys I would give passes to from that decade of baseball, how it was played? Because decade baseball played in the late 70s and early 80s is vastly different from the baseball we see today. And out of respect for Thurman of how he played, how he gave his body to the sport, and it did, I think he should go in. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Christian, if you look his number, if you look up at some video of him when he played, it's all over YouTube. There, I don't remember what team it was against, but he got drilled by a 260-pound guy at home plate. He got run over. He held onto that ball and didn't drop it. And got a concussion, because they already said he had a concussion. But he still stayed in the game and played. That motherfucker was back then.
Wow.
I'm sorry. You know what? I think, what was that? Gorman Thomas. That's the guy. I don't know if you're familiar with Gorman Thomas, how big that motherfucker was. Look him up.
Honestly, the biggest baseball player I've ever seen up close, probably Frank Thomas. Like, Frank Thomas was a tank. He was big, and, you know, everybody always wants to say Randy Johnson looks big. Like, nah, I've seen Randy Johnson up close. Randy was just tall. Like, Randy probably had at least a good 6'9 or 6'10, because I remember seeing him in 06. This is when the Yankees still had Jeter, A-Rod, a young Robinson Cano. And, you know, Jeter would always run to the mound to go calm down the pitcher, right?
Right.
And Jeter's about a good 6'2, 6'3. He made Derek look small.
All right, Gorman Thomas, at his heaviest, the guy was 6'2", at his heaviest was 245 pounds.
Wow.
He ran over Thurman Munson, and Thurman stayed in the game.
Yeah, well,
that's how tough.
Different era.
But still, I'm just using the example.
Oh,
it's
no,
like,
I know that. I'm just saying different.
I legit think, in my heart, I think Thurman should be a Hall of Famer. I don't know, but you guys never said yay or nay to that.
I honest to God, cannot actually – like, I cannot say that anything because I never saw him play. Like, I mean, you can go back and see video, but it's not like how I personally think Mark McGwire should be in, and they're never going to put him in.
Yeah.
Mark McGwire's going to go in under the Veterans Committee.
But I'm saying that See, Sammy Sosa should be in, but he's never going to go in because of the cork bat.
Should Rafael Palmeiro have been in?
Fuck, no.
Here's the thing.
No, he lied. He lied to Congress.
So
he
did Roger.
Out lied to Congress.
So did Roger Clemens.
Well, maybe that's why Clemens is not in. It's because he lied to Congress. And it's like Palmeiro basically flat out said, "Oh, I never did a steroid," but
well,
it turned out he was lying.
Well, I know who's getting into the Hall of Fame next year. Now, doesn't get in on the first ballot, CC Sabathia.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
But all right, Christian, I know you've been holding up the vinegar, the piss vinegar and venom.
All right. Well, you guys just discuss that. I got to go get something to drink for my throat. I'll be
Let's
right back.
Let's talk about Mad Dog.
Just briefly, because I'm not giving that fool too much attention.
So, all right. So, yeah. So, a while back on First Take, he was talking about how Shaq is the fifth greatest center of all time.
Yeah, that's insane.
So, he put at four Moses Malone.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, did you not listen to the clip?
No, I did. That's just me reacting.
Oh, okay. Three was, I think he said Tim Duncan, but he's not a center.
Tim Duncan's a power forward.
Yeah. Oh, God, why am I spacing on what he said? I know he said Kareem at one.
Which is understandable. I mean, I think,
and even Shaq says Kareem's the best.
Yeah, I mean, look, Kareem, to me, dominated the game, not just in college, in the NBA, but in college as well. I think he's that one who doesn't get enough respect as one of the greatest of all time. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I feel Kareem is, I mean, you know, Kareem is the second leading scorer in NBA history. And I remember someone sent me one of those start, bench, and cut. Post, Ronnie?
Yeah.
Where it has Shaq, Kareem, and Jokic, and he cut Kareem. I'm like, you are out your mind.
No.
All right, so what's the topic? What's the topic, so I could...
So Shaq, so Mad Dog, being Mad Dog, decided to say that Shaq is the fifth greatest center of all time.
Okay.
He had Kareem over him. Which even Shaq came out and said he agrees that Kareem is the greatest center of all time.
He is.
I agree with that, and I'm not even a basketball fan.
He put Wilt Chamberlain over him.
Wilt the Stilt, my God.
He put Moses Malone over him.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know about that one.
And he put... I forget who, what the final one that he said.
Look, I'm just going to stop you right there. Okay?
Go for it. Go for it, Christian. Let it out.
Do you know what Shaq has that all those other guys don't have?
Can't shoot three throws. Damn.
Shaq has a foul named after him. They weren't hacking Kareem. They weren't hacking Wilt. They weren't hacking Hakeem. It was Hack a Shaq. And you know why they called it Hack a Shaq? Because he was so damn dominant. And the only way you could stop his big ass was to put his big ass on a free throw line.
Hence that line from Grown Ups 2, as easy as shooting a three throw.
Yeah. Oh, what you're talking about.
Listen. Shaq is the most dominant big man I've ever seen. Like, what you saw in Orlando is very similar to how Giannis plays now, right? But, Shaq, listen, all you had to do was just throw that ball on the low block to Shaq. In his prime, Lord have mercy. 7'1", over 300 pounds. What hurt Shaq was he got lazy during the summers, and he got fat. And I'm glad Kobe called him out, because Kobe was like, yeah, we could have won at least five together as a tandem.
So was he kind of like the Zion Williams of the day?
I won't go that far. Nah.
Christian, he had Elijah Wan better than him.
Okay, I can understand that because, look, Hakeem, I don't think people realize how good Hakeem Olajuwon was. Like,
Hakeem still trains people to this day. Hakeem arguably has the best footwork out of any big man in NBA history. He has almost like a star on each toe. Like, that's how good he was, right? But, nah, Shaq, wait, Rodney, before we go any further, you got the Pro Football Hall of Fame guys up?
Yes, I got it.
Okay. Nah, but honestly, Shaq, I mean, you know, I grew up watching Shaq. So, you know, I didn't, no disrespect, I didn't grow up watching Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but I know the legend that he is, right?
But I remember seeing Kareem play.
Listen, Shaq is the best big man I've seen. Like, Shaq is one of the five best players I've seen. I mean, look, he won an MVP. He won four championships. He won three in a row with the Lakers, and he won that one with Miami. His impact is still felt on the game today. Like,
all right, Christian, yeah. I got to ask you this. All right, like, I don't know if he is or isn't. Is he in the Basketball Hall of Fame?
Who, Shaq?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. He went in 2016.
All right. You see, that would have been my argument as saying, is he a Hall of Famer? I didn't know if he was or wasn't.
Yeah. He went in with my favorite NBA player of all time, John Iverson.
Allen Iverson. I remember Allen Iverson.
That class was actually pretty good. It was Shaq. It was Iverson. It was Tom Izzo. That's the head coach of Michigan State. And Yao Ming.
And you got to remember, though, John, when it comes to the Basketball Hall of Fame, it's not
just the
NBA. It's not the NBA. It's college.
It's college. It's coaches. Yeah, like.
It's literally the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Honestly, I like it like that. I wish football would kind of do the same thing.
I mean, they just also released their 2024 Hall of Fame class. I have that pulled up, too.
Look. The best Hall of Fame class I've seen for the NBA was in 2020, John. Listen to this class, right?
I'm listening. All right.
It was Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett.
Okay.
And Kobe Bryant.
Well, Kobe went in. I think he deserved to go in on his merits alone, but I think they put him in because of what happened.
He was getting in regardless. Yeah, right. I mean, look, Kobe is the fourth, now, sorry, I think he's the fifth leading scorer in NBA history.
Yeah, because I think when LeBron passed him,
LeBron passed Kobe up on the scoring list the day before he died, which I think is just absolutely spooky.
Creepy.
Yeah, it is spooky. You're not wrong. Kobe was getting in regardless. I mean, and I kept always saying to myself, there were four Hall of Fame speeches for the Basketball Hall of Fame that I was really looking forward to, and I heard three of them: Jordan, Iverson, and Dwayne Wade. I'll never hear Kobe's, because the way the Basketball Hall of Fame works, you can bring a guy up to help induct you into the Hall of Fame who's already in, and obviously Kobe's widow spoke on his behalf when they inducted him posthumously. And of course he had Michael up there, because you remember how close he was with Jordan. But Kobe is the second greatest player I've ever seen.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I get, you know, he patterned most of his game after Michael, but just can't put LeBron over Kobe. Because, like, Kobe did it consistently on both ends of the floor. Like, you know, like I always joke around and say, the only thing LeBron does better than Kobe, he has more tattoos, he's a better passer, and he held on to his hair longer. That's it.
All right, Christian, now, like I said, this I just have a question. What do you think went wrong with Grant Hill's career that it went down as quick as it did? Because I remember when he started, everybody was claiming him to be like the next coming of the great Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
Is that what really curtailed him?
I mean, look, Grant Hill.
Those goddamn Sprite commercials.
Hey, you be respectful. Nah, Grant Hill was next. You know, and people always say he shouldn't be in the Hall because he wasn't dominant. Yes, he was. But Go watch his Detroit days.
See, what also doesn't hurt, what helps this is, again, it's also counting college. He was one of the most dominant college players.
Dominant guys in college, yeah. You know, it was injuries, John. Like, remember, Grant almost died because he had that really bad staph infection after he hurt his ankle. But,
I mean,
honestly, look, Grant, I heard, is one of the nicest guys that you will ever meet. And to be honest with you, you know, he's partially the reason why I got into analyzing college football a little bit heavier, because he also analyzes college basketball. Like, he does, he does March Madness in the Big Ten tournament for CBS. And I thought, Ronnie, I don't know about you, but I thought that was the best decision they could have made. Jim Nantz, Grant Hill, Bill Raftery.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it sucks because Nantz isn't going to be there this year. But,
But you say Penny Hardaway is in the same boat or no?
Yeah, Penny, he got hurt. I mean, Penny, you know what tree Penny is cut from? Penny is cut from the Magic Johnson tree because he was a bigger guy that was able to distribute the ball. Like, Magic is the greatest point guard of all time.
Right.
The only thing Steph does better than Magic is shoot, and he's quicker. That's it. Like, you know, without Magic, there's no Penny Hardaway. And to be quite honest with you, there's no LeBron James. LeBron is a better scoring version of Magic Johnson.
Right.
They play just alike. Big guys that can bring the ball up, that can distribute. Only thing LeBron does better than Magic is just he scores better. Right, Ronnie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The reason I said that is because the other day I was going through some old boxes of baseball cards that I had, and I found – bunch of Grant Hill rookie cards and Penny Hardaway rookie cards. And I remember when I got these, everybody was clamoring to get their hands on these cards.
Penny Hardaway, man, like, that, honestly, John, there's a plethora of guys that have that what if hovering over their career.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of them. Tracy McGrady was one. Derrick Rose, and you remember, I was in Chicago when Derrick Rose won that MVP. Like, I remember that, like, yesterday.
Derrick Rose, the only one to have the balls to take MJ's locker.
Yeah, because I remember, I saw it on Facebook today, and someone asked, do you think the Bulls will ever retire Derrick Rose's number? I said, absolutely, because let me tell you how important, listen to me when I say this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you how important Derrick Rose was to the city of Chicago. He was the Bulls' first everything since Michael Jordan. Their first starter in the NBA All-Star game. Their first rookie of the year since Jordan. He was their highest draft pick that actually became something since Jordan. He's the youngest MVP in NBA history. He won that MVP at 21 years old. Led the Bulls to a 62-20 record, right? He re-energized and reinvigorated an entire city, because I was out there after the Jordan era, and the Bulls were bad. I mean, they were terrible. Derrick Rose put people in the seats. And he's a Chicago kid himself. Grew up in Chicago, raised in Chicago, went to Simeon High School in Chicago. Nah, Derrick Rose, but he'll never be an NBA Hall of Famer because he missed too much time, and what was supposed to be his prime, he was always out with injuries. But he definitely deserves his number retired by the Bulls.
Right.
Yeah. But the whole thing back to what we were talking about, when it comes to Shaq, Mad Dog was talking out his ass. Which he does a lot. Oh, shit.
I could have told you that. I'm kind of glad I don't hear that other guy, Mr. Francesa. God, I hate him.
You know, I'm getting sick and tired of people talking about Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah, that motherfucker fell asleep on air.
All right. Yeah, so, all right, Christian, you were talking about it. We'll get into it now because Ryan should be on any minute. The College Football Hall of Fame list came out also. So I'll read you some of the names that got put in there.
Mm-hmm. Three words.
Just texting Ryan real quick. All right. Tim Couch.
Hey, he was pretty good in college.
Orrick Dunn.
He definitely needs to be in.
These are people that are in this year. Dan Hampton, defensive back. Toby Gerhart.
Okay.
Fitzy. Larry Fitzgerald.
As he should.
The Julius Peppers.
As he should. I mean, look. It's funny because Larry Fitzgerald never really officially announced his retirement.
No, but this is college, obviously. So.
Yeah.
Alex Smith.
Absolutely. I mean, he put Utah football on the map.
Yep.
He was one of the toughest college football players I ever saw. Yeah, definitely.
Chris Ward.
Yeah.
O-tackle from Ohio State.
Okay.
Danny Woodhead.
You know what I think of anytime I hear Danny Woodhead's name?
Moorhead?
No. I think of, did you ever see that clip? I'm going to send it to you. I'll send it to you, both of you, because I want both of you are going to get a laugh out of this. It was the NFL Network. It was Joe Theismann, Prime, and a few other guys. Like, they were having a roundtable discussion, and they were talking about the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And somebody was like, yeah, what about Danny Headcock? And Deion just lost it. Like, I had never seen Deion Sanders laugh that hard. I'm going to see if I can find it. I'm going to send it to you guys on Facebook.
And finally, the man that put Marshall on the map, wide receiver and kick returner, Randy, you better have drafted me Cowboys, Moss.
Yeah. I think Marshall kind of saved Randy Moss's career.
Yeah.
Because I know he wanted to go to Notre Dame originally, but he got into trouble. Marshall took him in, and the rest is history.
Yep. And then there's some other ones, guys that are from like the 50s and
mm-hmm.
not really big names in college, but yeah. Coaches, they're putting in Mark D'Antoni.
Mark D'Antonio, you mean?
D'Antonio, yeah.
Yeah. Just can't wait to see when Saban goes in.
Danny Hale.
Yeah, I remember him.
And then Frank Skolich. Skolich, S-O-L-I-C-H.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Nebraska from 03 when they won 98 to 03, and Ohio, University of Ohio, from 05 to 2020.
All right. I found it. I'm about to hear. Let me see if I can send it now.
I was going to say, we can hear it.
Nah, you have to see it. Like, you have to see it.
But all right, so I will. All right, so I got the NFL finalist up right now.
Yeah, let me hear it.
Let's go.
All right. Eric Allen, cornerback. 01 Raiders is where he played last.
Nah, I'll say no.
I don't know enough about him to comment on that one, so.
Jared Allen, pretty much known for being a Viking.
Oh, yeah.
Nah, he's not getting in.
I know who he is, but I don't think so, no.
Willie Anderson, offensive tackle. The last team he played for was the 08 Ravens.
Willie Anderson, the guy who played for the Bengals?
Yes.
Yeah, he needs to be in because I get the era he played in. There were bigger names playing.
12 years as a tackle? That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
That's very good. Yeah, that's real
good.
You
just look at everybody he kind of, you know, was in the league with at that time. He was in the league with Jonathan Ogden. and Orlando Pace and Walter Jones.
Well, 96, so he came in.
Those three guys I just listed, Jonathan, Orlando, and Walter, are all in the Hall of Fame.
I was going to say, 96, he came in towards the end of Reggie, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jarr Evans, guard played.
Jarry Evans?
Jarry Evans, yeah.
I'll say no as of now, but eventually he'll probably get in.
This motherfucker, yes, Dwight Freeney.
Not yet. He will get in, but because, again, think about it. Yeah, he was good, but there were bigger names playing his position. Strahan, Jason Taylor, you know, those guys are in the Hall of Fame.
Hands down, Antonio Gates.
Yeah.
One of the five best tight ends I've ever seen play the game. John, let me tell you this.
Uh-huh.
Antonio Gates didn't even play college football. He was a basketball player. And he came in and dominated. I remember when he first came into the league, I'm like, who is this guy?
Yep.
Always reliable, caught everything, played like a basketball player on the football field.
Yeah, yeah. The box out, pretty much, it's what he's known for.
Yeah.
All right. Probably one of the most underrated safeties, Rodney Harrison.
He needs to be in because – He's a part of that 30-30 club.
Uh-huh.
30 sacks, 30 interceptions. That's rare. He was the heart and soul of those Patriots defenses. I know he was always labeled as a dirty player, but, nah, he played with passion. And he always said, look, if you're coming over the middle, I'm hitting you. Playing it. He told you what he was going to do. So, I love Rodney. I loved him as a player, and I love him even more now as an analyst.
So, John, you're going to love this one.
Mm-hmm.
The first ever, they list him as a wide receiver, but you know him as a punt returner. Devin, oh, watch that boy run, Hester. probably the second punt returner to go in the Hall of Fame.
He, I get why he didn't go in on the first ballot, because the Pro Football Hall of Fame doesn't necessarily like special teams guys. I mean, look, they just put the first punter in almost 10 years ago.
As much as he was a wide out, no. He was
no.
You Falcons, you put him back there in the Bears. You put him back there at a punt, and you had to kick it out of bounds. Because if you put it anywhere on the field, he was going to the house.
He's the greatest return man ever. But, again, I also understand why he didn't go in right away.
But he needs to go in. He needs to go in.
I think he gets in this year, to be honest with you.
The greatest show on turf, one of the best wide receivers, Sir Torrey Holt.
I mean, if Isaac Bruce is in, Torrey Holt deserves to be in too. I don't think people realize just how important Torrey Holt was.
I forgot he played for Jacksonville.
And New England.
No, it doesn't have him on New England here. It just has him in the Rams and Jags.
Look, four guys from that greatest show on turf, including the coach, are all in. Kurt
yeah.
Warner's in, Orlando Pace is in, Marshall Faulk is in, and Isaac Bruce is in. Yeah, it's time for Torrey to be in.
Yep.
Christian, I sent you a joke on Facebook I think you'll get a kick out of.
All right, I'll check it out.
it's only a 30-second clip, but it's more visual than it is sound. It's no sound, it's more visual. Just
I am surprised this guy played as long as he did. Andre Johnson.
Definitely needs to be in. Look,
I forgot he was drafted in 03.
Listen, during his time, he was the best wide receiver in football, and it wasn't even close. Like, he...
Yeah.
He was honestly...
On those shitty Texan teams.
Yeah. He filled the seats for those Texans teams, the ones that weren't that good, like you just said.
The David Carr team. You're the first one to yawn.
Shut up.
I'm surprised I haven't kicked in yet.
Andre Johnson was Mike Evans before Mike Evans, because it didn't matter the quarterback. He was going to put up big numbers somehow, somewhere. Oh, shit.
Ryan's damn camera. Hello, Ryan.
Hello.
There he is. All right. Christian, were you finishing up on that, or did you want me to go to the next one?
Yeah, Andre definitely deserves to go in.
Oh, God, again, a guy that I forgot that was done in 02, Julius Peppers.
First ballot, lead pipe lock. He's fourth all time. One of the most dominant defenders I've ever seen. Played with range, put hands in the dirt, could rush the passer.
Was on that Super Bowl team against New England?
Yeah. Julius Peppers is one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen step on a football field.
All right, so here's an interesting one. Fred Taylor.
I'll say no because, again, look at the era he played in. Like, he played in the era with Curtis Martin, Jerome Bettis, Marshall Faulk, guys who were all in. But my thing is this. If Edgerrin James is in, Fred Taylor deserves to be in.
Yeah, I agree with that. Speaking of, we talked about Torrey Holt.
Torrey Holt.
Yep. Talk about the other guy that was part of not the show on turf, but the other guy on the other side of the division that was just as good, Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, Reggie deserves to be in because he and Marvin Harrison are one of the most prolific receiver duos in league history, right? I mean, look. Peyton pretty much had two number one receivers to work with because when you zoomed in and tried to take away Marvin Harrison, who would Peyton get the ball to? Reggie Wayne.
Reggie.
Look, at one time, I thought Reggie was a top three wide receiver. He was quick. He was that guy that Peyton would get the ball to on third downs to move the chains. He was a chain mover. Reggie definitely needs to be in.
Brian, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was agreeing with Christian.
Okay. All right, this is interesting. Linebacker, only played 7 years, but with the 49ers, Patrick Willis.
I'll say no because...
7 years.
Never won a defensive player of the year. Never won a defensive rookie of the year. But I will say this. He was the closest thing I saw to Ray Lewis.
Yeah. And then finally, not last finalist, safety... from the Dallas Cowboys, Darren Woodson.
Yeah, he needs to be in. It's way overdue. This, to me, reminds me of Steve Atwater not getting in until eventually he did. Yeah, nah, Darren Woodson was the real deal.
So apparently they passed on Holt and Wayne 5 times.
So if I had to give you a prediction right now for what I think it's going to be,
yeah.
Antonio Gates, Julius Peppers, they're the first ballot guys. They're getting in.
Oh, Julius Peppers, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah, those two are getting in.
Yeah.
I'll say Antonio Gates, Julius Peppers, Andre Johnson, Devin Hester. I'll just leave it at that for right now.
So mine, Gates. Gates, Hester, Holt, Peppers.
Yeah, and Torrey Holt.
And Wayne. Those are my 5.
Yeah, because, I mean, last year's class wasn't all that bad. Last year's class was actually really good. It was Joe Thomas. He got in on the first ballot. John's guy, Darrell Revis, he got in on the first ballot.
Revis Island, baby.
Zach Thomas, that took long enough because he should have been in years ago. Who else went in last year? DeMarcus Ware went in.
Right.
I don't like how they did DeMarcus. DeMarcus should have been in on the first ballot. He went in on the second ballot. I think the class of 2022, they were trying to put the guys in who hadn't made it in, you know, and had been on the ballot for X amount of years. I don't care about that. Like, DeMarcus is 9th all time on the sacks list. Think about it.
No, you're right.
And Joe Klecko went in last year, finally.
Mm-hmm.
Damn right, Mr. Klecko went in. I met that motherfucker.
How was he when you met him?
When I met him, my God, that man has his hands look like catcher's mitts. The guy was huge, but he was him and I met him and Marty Lyons.
Oh,
they were awesome, absolutely awesome. I have pictures of me with both of them.
Yeah,
but no, they were totally cool. They were both respectable gentlemen. I asked them questions about their playing days. They were happy to talk. I asked about the sack exchange, and they go, and Joe Klecko goes to me and goes, you know what? That's a time that'll never be again. He goes, I don't know if I'll ever see a line like that ever in football again. There might be two or three, but there'll never be four like there was with us. And I know he's not tooting his own horn, but he's not wrong.
No, he's not. You know, I was just saying to myself the other day, look, I've been to a college game day, right? I've been to the NFL on Fox. What's the next pregame show I got to get to?
MLB.
Yeah.
Got to get that postseason game in there.
Yeah, and then I know I could have went to that Black Friday game because Amazon, they usually, like, host their pregame show outside the stadium, and then they move in, so that would have been cool to meet those guys.
True.
Yeah.
All right. Ready to pick games, Ronnie?
Yes, sir. I don't think there's anything else to talk about in the NFL except the, you know, the bitter cold and the dick slaps that the Dallas Cowgirls and the New England.
Speaking
of
which, Kristen, did you watch that video I sent to you on Facebook?
Nah, not yet.
It's real quick. It's a real quick thing. You'll get the joke when you see it.
All right, let me
know what? I got a couple things.
Yes, you do.
So first off, the Bills fans are straight up fucking garbage.
Oh Jesus!
What, you're talking about what I sent you?
Yes. Oh God.
But it's not wrong, though.
No, it's not.
All right, let's go, Ryan. What do you got?
Not much, just do the picks.
No, Ryan.
Go ahead.
No, we're good. It's nothing.
Ryan, I know where you're going with it. Do it.
Yeah, we're good, man. Let's go with the picks. I got my shit ready.
Were you going to talk about the actually, no, there is one thing I want to talk to you, and I want Christian's opinion on this. The quote-unquote fake slide by Josh Allen.
I mean, look, when a quarterback does that line of scrimmage and he's a runner, he should be treated as such. You know, I think the game now it's soft now. Because quarterbacks can't get hit nowadays. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think it's going to get to the point where eventually, and I'm not even saying this to be funny, but don't be surprised if they end up putting flags on the starting quarterbacks now. You can't hit them now. And we have Tom Brady to thank for that. That's why I always say, Tom Brady would not last in the 80s during the, you know, the Lawrence Taylor era and Ronnie Lott. Like, Tom Brady would be drilled. Whereas you see the quarterbacks in the 80s, Dan Marino and Joe Montana and John Elway in their primes, they would thrive in today's NFL. Because it's such a pass-happy league. I can guarantee you one of them would probably throw for over 6,000 yards.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
But as far as the fake slide, I mean, look, he was crafty with it. I'll give him that, but...
But you know what, though? The thing is, though, is that goes back to the Kenny Pickett...
To the Kenny Pickett one.
One, and they literally outlawed that. They made a rule of that... and does the NFL need to take care of that? Like, they all stop. I think they need to worry about that more than the tush push.
Right.
let's – Ryan, do you have any comments on that or
– Yeah, it's bullshit.
John?
I didn't see it, so I didn't – I don't know what you're talking about. I was sick when that was happening. I didn't see it.
All right. All right, let's get to our picks. let me just pull something up again. Okay. First one on the list, the 4:30 on Saturday, the Houston Texans take on the Baltimore Orioles. Christian, you're still in the lead. You got the honors.
You know, I think this is going to be a different game, obviously, than what we saw in week one. You know, you look at Baltimore, and they've had the week off, and how are they going to come out? Are they going to be rested, or are they going to be rusty? So that's one thing you got to pay attention to. Houston, to me, put together the best all-around effort on Wild Card Weekend because Stroud, he's the caveat, difference maker, because against Cleveland, he didn't play, right? And Amari Cooper had 265 yards receiving on 11 receptions. And they played great defense. They were able to run the football. They dominated the trenches on both sides of the ball. But I think the most impressive thing was they neutralized Myles Garrett. Baltimore doesn't have a guy in the front seven that they have to pay attention to, but that's where Baltimore has the edge because they can throw different things at you. You never know who's coming, plain and simple. They just know how to throw pressure at you. Could Houston win this game? Yeah, but I think Baltimore does just enough to win it. Houston has to start fast. I'm talking they got to get after Lamar. And, again, this is the chance for Lamar to prove something. But I'm taking the Ravens.
Brian?
I'm also taking the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm taking the Ravens also. I think Houston may cover this, but I think the Ravens will take it, being at home. The one thing I'm worried about is Lamar going to be rusty for being off for 3 weeks?
Right. So, and if you're Houston, I'm watching Sheldon Rankins. I think, you know, that pressure in the middle is going to be key. And I'm pushing Lamar to the left side of the pocket. But this is the best group of weapons Lamar has had. Everybody always wants to compare this Ravens team to the 2019 team. That's when Lamar won his first MVP. I think this team is a lot better. What's the staple with the Ravens? They want to do two things, Ronnie. What are those two things?
Bottle the run and get to the quarterback.
Yeah, okay. Well, you mentioned the defense, but yeah, they want to run the ball and they want to play good defense.
John, what do you got?
Sweep, just clean sweep across the board.
Someone better not chime in. All right.
Take a dick.
Oh, fuck you, you piece of shit. I should call you Raider Dave and throw you through some IKEA furniture.
You think that would bother me?
I'll make it bother you.
Who the fuck let him in?
Hi, Raider Dave.
I'm just sitting over here, minding my own fucking business, giving fucking Ryan shit because the Steelers joked on Dick.
Hey, did you ever get that tire fixed?
No, it's still fucking whopping around.
What? The frozen pizza didn't hold?
No, the frozen pizza didn't hold. It was a fucking party pizza.
Should have went with that extra, the Sicilian size?
I actually should have went with the Brooklyn style.
Oh, God. It didn't
but that's neither here nor there. I'm just sitting here, minding my own fucking business, being Raider Dave.
Waiting for the Raiders!
And all of a sudden, I'm getting fucking called into this bullshit. I hope somebody doesn't chime in. I'd have called you Raider Dave. I'm Raider Dave, motherfucker. I'm Raider Dave.
I'm the one who knocks.
I'm the one who breaks the IKEA furniture. I'm the one that builds it. Ing and ding and durgan. Suck my ball.
You don't have any balls!
Shut the fuck up, it's scorched earth, you know what I mean.
Jesus! Okay, next game.
Okay, go to the next fucking game. Leave me the fuck out of this. We're not talking again until it's rare football.
All right, I'll talk to you during baseball season when we talk about Oakland. Because, you know, the last time you had to talk about that, it was Vietnam.
It was a hard 9 years. It was a hard 9 years. You're a real bastard for bringing that up on air. I did not lose my life to Vietnam for you to be like this towards me.
Did you get all the ice cream you can eat after that?
No. That was a lie. It was all a lie. Although, I did get to go to exciting new places, meet new and interesting people, and fucking kill them!
Was that on a boat, or did you just do that normal?
One guy with a shoe.
Interesting.
It was.
Went after some rice patties, some shrimp, some clams, you know. You were screaming out, where the fuck is Jenny, when you killed him?
I was yelling out all kinds of things, most of which I can't say on air.
Chris Benoit didn't do it!
Something along those lines. Hey, why am I... What the fuck is a Red Sox fan doing here?
I said the same shit, Dave.
I just have one question.
What?
When the fuck did we get ice cream?
Oh, no, Red Sox makes sense. Sit down, Corky.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, well, I mean, Red or Dave, should we introduce the other person here to a special somebody?
Yes.
Oh, hold on. Let me see if she's in her, out of her cage. And I got a steak over here. Oh, what's that, darling? You got a steak? Oh, hello, boys.
Oh, dear Christ.
Well, hello. Who is this person that has with this big green monster over here showing off?
It's all for you.
Well, that's great. Go get me a pack of cools first so I can fucking leave you.
Listen, Dustin, this is just me looking out for you. This is the closest you'll probably get to a happy ending, okay?
Oh, God damn.
Only if he plays his cards right, Christian.
Ooh.
Hey, don't mention my name.
Okay, Barack. Okay, where's your buddy, Barack?
Hey.
What? You know, Barack Obama. I would ask for his wife, but, you know, Big Mike is busy. Oh, great. Why the fuck did I summon my boyfriend?
Pretty fucking good question.
Who the fuck asked for you here?
Nobody asked for me. I'm here to save Christian.
Is that why you had to run for Saddam? You had to come see me?
We'll talk about that off air. I'm here to save Christian. Okay? I gotta save
that man.
I have to save that poor man from your hospitalities of Whore Island.
Oh, no problem.
I got you.
Well, I'm sorry, but when a big strapping young gentleman over here is sewing off his green monster, it kinda gets me all hot and bothered.
Oh, hell.
Jesus Christ. I don't even know how to respond.
I mean, I just left you speechless. I don't think you need to know how to respond. That's how I leave most guys, either dead or speechless.
No. We have a whole set.
I'm hoping for the first one.
You're hoping for the first one?
I'm hoping to be dead.
I'll be there shortly.
Satan, good news. You're getting a new one.
I'm getting a new one. I don't know what makes this one any special from, you know, like, the millions that join me down here. Kind of excited about this.
He won't raid your minibar. That's my job.
No, he will raid my minibar. He will raid my minibar.
When I come back, you got a story about that.
Oh, hell no. That was all. But I don't know. First off, do you wanna?
Yeah.
Get back in your fucking cage.
Make me, bitch. Listen, I still have this call right here. And this boy over here is going to go get me some more.
Guys, I tried. I tried.
Nothing else is going to get me back in my cage. All right, Joanna, if you don't get back in your fucking cage, I'm going to run you over a car like Sonny.
I like the reference. I like where your mind's at. You got a fucked up sense of humor, and I appreciate that about you.
Yeah, and so did Sonny, but, you know.
That's all right. She can think about a good punchline over the next 17 years.
Well, you know what they say about a good punchline? Usually happens when nobody sees it.
I was going to say it usually happens when you fuck up the sandwich.
Oh, darling, there's nothing that fucks up the sandwich. Okay, enough is enough. Get the fuck back in the cage.
And get the fuck out of here, Arby's.
Well,
got the meats.
Well, hello there, Satan. I'll scare her off. Get the fuck back here before I fucking tang you.
Nope, gone.
Go. All right, well, I'll go back to hell then. Bye, guys.
Piece of shit.
I mean, I know this already, but I don't know why people had to keep telling me that. Y'all just leave me hanging, and I don't understand why.
Because you have a weird flapping head.
All right, that guy, I'm gonna go.
Get the fuck out of here.
All right, bye. All right, get the fuck out of here. Everyone out of my fucking head.
Hello, Christian.
No, Ivana, we got to pick these games. Unless you're going to make your pick of the week and someone sent you some discriminating photos, it better be on this game then.
Well, someone definitely discriminating photos, but it's not on this game.
All right, then I need Ryan back for the Packers and the fucking 49ers. We're 20 points off of your favorite number. We know this. Let's go.
First off.
They're 9 point. They're 9.5 point favorite. The over-under is 50.5. Who do you
got? Yeah, I previewed this one today. I love what Green Bay did. They just went into Dallas and took it. That's because Dan Quinn, who's normally known to play man coverage, decided to play a zone, and Green Bay picked them apart. Anything Green Bay wanted to do offensively, they got. They ran Aaron Jones. Those receivers did well. And Jordan Love, finally, Packer fans are being patient with him because they were ready to run him out of town when the Packers were 3-6. You know, I think this is Matt LaFleur's best coaching job in recent memory. As far as San Francisco, they do it in different ways. They have balance offensively. They're physical and they're violent on both sides of the trenches, on both sides of the ball. And defensively, they're overpowering. And once they get started, they never stop. Purdy has to be patient. You know, I think that's what's going to be key. And San Fran needs to start quickly. You know, and they got to come in and they got to punch Green Bay in the mouth, whereas Green Bay, they have to try and play San Francisco's own game because the bully don't like to be bullied. I think the 49ers win this one, and I think it's going to be close.
So are you taking San Fran?
Yeah, I think San Fran advances because, listen, you know who the biggest threat is to the 49ers?
Themselves.
Health. a key injury happening to a key player. Yeah, it's still.
All right, Ryan.
I'm taking the Niners.
Yep, Christian McCaffrey. Run CMC, baby. John?
69ers.
All right, next game, Tampa Bay is a 6.5-point dog against them Detroit Lions.
I guess I'll go fuck myself.
Yeah, well, go do that.
Who are you taking, Dustin?
With the way they dismantled the Packers last week, give me the upset with Green Bay.
Okay, which you are wrong. Okay, next game, Tampa, Detroit. Christian, you're previewing this. What do you got?
I love what Tampa did. They threw the blitz. They were able to really get the running game going, and Baker was in control, spreading the ball around his receivers. This is a Detroit secondary that can be had. Detroit just survived that game Sunday night, which was the best game of the entire weekend between the Rams and the Lions. You know, and this is going to be their second playoff game at Ford Field. You know, those fans are going to really be into it. These two met earlier in the year, and the Lions just punched the Buccaneers in the mouth, and it wasn't close. I think it's going to be a different game this time around. I preview this one tomorrow. Be on the lookout.
Brian?
Detroit.
I'm also going with Detroit. Baker has done a great job with this team, but I think Detroit's going to have too much of a wave to follow. John.
Detroit Rock City.
All right. Finally, Christian, you are also previewing this. The Buffalo Bills are a 2.5, unless it's changed, 2.5-point home dog, soon to be 3, against Kansas City.
Yeah, the first time in 16 games, Patrick Mahomes is playing a playoff game on the road. Last week was the best I've seen Kansas City look in quite some time because they beat Miami the same way they did during the regular season. Defense and just enough offense. Rashee Rice really stepped up. They were able to establish Pacheco. And defensively, they did a really good job of making the Miami Dolphins one-dimensional. But now, this is different and a better offense that you're facing in Buffalo. And we remember what happened the last time these two teams played in the playoffs. It ended up being one of the best playoff games I ever saw and one of the best games I ever had the privilege of previewing. I think it's key for Buffalo. They got to run the football. James Cook is the X factor for the Buffalo Bills. Like, they need to establish him, and if they do that, they establish him, that'll open up the passing game for Josh Allen. And Josh can't make mistakes against his defense because I think if he gives the ball to them once, they're gonna lose, plain and simple. But Joe Brady has really come in, and he's given everybody a touch of the ball since he's become the offensive coordinator. I said it last week. I'll say it again. The Bills aren't in this position right now if they still have Ken Dorsey as their offensive coordinator. I honestly think they wouldn't have made the playoffs had they had not fired Ken Dorsey. And as far as Kansas City, you know, I just want to see, you know, can their offense kind of last week, because that was the best I've seen their offense look all year long. I love this matchup. Allen, Mahomes, it's the seventh time. It's the third time meeting in the playoffs. And someone asked me the other day, is this the modern-day Peyton and Brady? I'm not going to go that far, but it definitely has similarities because these two just can't seem to avoid each other come playoff time. I preview this one on Friday.
Ryan, before I get to you, Dustin, who you taking against Detroit?
Ain't nobody care.
Eat a dick.
And Tampa or Detroit?
Detroit.
Okay. And before I get to Ryan, KC, Buffalo, who you taking?
Casey.
Okay. Ryan, who you taking?
I am taking Buffalo.
See, there's a part of me that doesn't want to go against it. So, Buffalo has a very hard time stopping the run.
And I think Pacheco is going to be key.
And if Pacheco goes off like he did against Miami, Buffalo's going to be in for a long night at home.
Yeah, they are.
And they better not throw snowballs at the field to fuck up somebody from catching a ball.
Yeah, that's bullshit. That should be you should be fucking kicked out of the stadium for that shit.
Or throwing a bucket of popcorn on your head on your head coach after losing a playoff game. So the fans, I'm talking to you.
It's silly fans. You don't expect much from them.
I mean, dude, you don't pour a bucket of popcorn on Nick Sirianni's head, though.
Somebody does, obviously.
Someone did, and they got arrested for it. There is a part of me that really wants to take Kansas City, but do we see Travis Kelce be Travis Kelce, or do we see what he was against Miami and have the yips?
Yeah, that's to be determined.
This game can go either way. I'm taking Buffalo because I think Buffalo's due to finally beat the team. It's home. It's to prove to see if Mahomes can do this on the road. I think Buffalo will take this by a field goal. So give me Buffalo. John?
Buffalo.
You know what that means? Everyone's going to lose. Clean sweep across the board, and those are the games for this week. But with that, I guess, Ryan, you came in late. You got anything you want to talk about real quick, and then we'll close it out?
Yeah, not really.
Okay. All right. Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to our show. If you like what you heard, please follow us on all social media accounts under the Nerdport Network. Follow us individually on Twitter, at FNRonnie.
At the Zombie Master.
At DailyBlitz _ 61.
At Backwards. Yeah.
And you can follow Raider Dave at
Raider Dave NPN.
And you find Dustin at nobodygivesafuck.edu.
Yep.
What? EDU.
Oh, No. You just need to be schooled every fucking day and every night.
And how come he sounds like he's working at a drive-thru?
And then.
Oh.
You got us on speakerphone, Dusty?
What?
What, we on speakerphone?
Yeah, I'm through my headphones.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
And then.
Yeah. And then, without being so, if you like what you heard, please tell your friends. If you didn't like what you hear,
you can go fuck yourself.
Oh, if a bucket of Duke's mayo gets poured on your head.
I hope you get a bucket of reindeer just for Christmas.
Hey now.
Whoa.
And if you didn't like what you hear, tell your enemies. But until then, always remind them three different things. One, Bobby Bonilla is getting paid. Two, Shohei Ohtani will getting paid. And three, there is always a teachable moment. And if you don't believe me, well, then hell, that's just a fact of life. Yeah.
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 Good night.